All right, we join him now with Jake Kokorowski, who is an editor for BuckiesFifthQuarter.com, which is SB Nation's home for the Wisconsin Badgers. Jake, what was your reaction to seeing the committee's placement of Wisconsin heading into the Big Ten championship game?
I wasn't surprised, and based off of what having the two losses and then Michigan the way that they lost and the fact that Clemson and Washington both won too, I did not really feel that they would move up. I thought they'd remain at six, and I was correct in that. And it's okay on that part where you have Ohio State number two, and with one loss, and despite that loss to Penn State, they are a strong team and probably in my opinion the second best team in the nation. And Clemson and Washington, I think if they lose one more time, that's like chaos theory going on right here, but if they lose next week. They are in their conference championship games this weekend, I should say. They really have, that could open up the things for Wisconsin. It could open up for Michigan or for Penn State, whoever wins that Big Ten championship game. So, when I saw what happened, the ranking system, wasn't surprised at all. Wisconsin and Penn State both need to take care of business. One team will win out. Whoever does, then that allows them to, just say they did the best they could, let the chips fall where they may, and see if they get in to the college football playoff. Otherwise, it looks like possibly a trip to Pasadena, which really isn't that bad of a consolation prize.
No, the Rose Bowl does tend to be a nice feather to put in your cap. But what do you think has to happen in the Big Ten championship game? Like, what's the scenario for Wisconsin to get in?
To get in, really, they have to win. Obviously, they have to win and defeat Penn State, which is going to be a challenge. I think Penn State has a great quarterback. Their running game, it's a combination that is really, you've seen just how impressive Trace McSorley is with leading the nation in yards per completion and leads the Big Ten in passing efficiency, despite the fact that he's completing under 60% of his passes. But if they can contain that Penn State offense, and Wisconsin leads the nation in time of possession for offense, if they can get that ground game going. Penn State gives up around 150 yards rushing each game. If they can generate something with Corey Clement or the jet sweep from redshirt junior wide receiver Jazz Peavy, that can only help move the chains there. Another key stat too: Penn State only converts 32% of their third downs. That is third worst in the conference. Wisconsin, on the other hand, only 27% allowed in that category, which is second in the conference. Among the best in the nation there. So, they have to take care of business in Indianapolis. But, yeah, I think they have to have Clemson lose, Washington lose. They have for sure have to have one of the two teams lose. But even then, you have Michigan there. You have Michigan. How are they going to – will the committee think that Michigan is the fourth best team in the nation there? Which I think if Wisconsin or Penn State get in, it's going to be on the simple fact of them being number four and then heading up to – take on Alabama in the 1-4 seed there. So I think they obviously have to win out, but then you have to have some help there from either Virginia Tech or Colorado to make the case and for the Badgers to get into that playoff, which, being honest, heading into the season, if you would have told me that Wisconsin would be in this position to not just win the Big Ten championship but be one of the last four teams, one of the top four teams in the nation, I wouldn't say you're crazy, but I would say you're extremely, extremely optimistic.
Well, why has this team surpassed expectations?
It really is a combination of a few things. It's the coaching staff and the players believing in themselves. It's only Paul Chryst's second year in the program. Granted, he was an offensive coordinator at Wisconsin before he took the Pitt job for the 2012 season. And so, but people knew who he was. He bonds well with the players, and the players love him, and it's so there's a great chemistry between the players and the coaching staff, but it's also just the ability that there's depth there at certain positions where the next man up mentality is huge, and it's so cliche, right? You next man up, well, everyone thinks that, but at Wisconsin it's really true. Two of their starting inside linebackers, they had going into the season, they had three starting caliber inside linebackers in TJ Edwards, Chryst Orr, and Jack Sitchie. Chryst Orr goes out first offensive play for LSU in the season opener, and TJ Edwards is still injured. Well, who jumps in and plays next to Sitchie? is Brian Connolly, a former walk-on. He had 7 tackles, including a huge stop on a screen pass in the fourth quarter that could have changed the game. And so you have these guys coming in to be glue-type players. And Connolly did it again when Cicci was injured and lost for the season. He stepped up when Edwards returned, and he had 11 tackles against Nebraska on way to being named Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. And so you have these players stepping up, and you've seen that throughout the season where defensive backs with Natrell Jamerson, their nickelback going out, which is used a lot with a lot of the spread teams. Lubrin Figaro, who had a terrible 2015, resurrected his collegiate career, converted to cornerback, and has been a standout nickelback and has really helped solidify the secondary, too. It's also the coaching, the secondary was a huge question mark with them losing 3 starters last year, all of which have seen some time in the NFL, whether it's in practice squad, training camp, or like Tanner McAvoy with the Seattle Seahawks, though he's now a wide receiver. Jim Leonard came in as a secondaries coach, and he's a former walk-on, kind of the walk-on of walk-ons at Wisconsin, a former 3-time All-American, 10-year NFL veteran. NFL coaches absolutely loved him and talked about how he was a quarterback in that defensive backfield and for that their defenses. And he's bought it, and the players have bought into what he said, and they've been playing at a high level. I mean, Wisconsin leads the nation in interceptions with 21 heading into this game, and they may have some chances on Saturday. So it's been a combination of just players being selfless, great coaching. The offensive line's finally starting to get healthy now, and they're utilizing players to their strengths, which is what every good coaching staff does. They're not trying to change a program in terms of a certain offense being run. They are allowing the players to do what they do best, and it's really shown this year.
We're joined right now by Jake Kokorowski, who writes for BuckiesFifthQuarter.com, SB Nation's home for the Wisconsin Badgers. I'm Lewis Woodard. This is SB Nation Radio. Jake, help me out here. I am confused by how consistently good Wisconsin is, despite the fact that they've had 3 coaches in the last 5 years. And also on top of that coaches leave Wisconsin for what on paper do not appear to be better jobs, right? I mean, with Gary Anderson going to Oregon State and Brett Bielema going to Arkansas, and those two gentlemen as yet have not had Wisconsin-level success at their respective institutions. And, I mean, I know it takes a while to build a program, but you would expect losing good coaches to other schools to see some kind of slippage, and yet it seems like year in, year out, Wisconsin has that Big Ten West on lockdown.
It's impressive, and it's a testament to the culture of the program, players not giving up on each other. You know, you hear about, you know, Brett Bielema leaving to go to Arkansas. And despite them losing that Rose Bowl to Stanford, you know, they had Barry Alvarez come back, and who's now the director of athletics at Wisconsin. And, you know, it's a culture that was really formed when he took over the program as head coach back in 1990. And just utilizing, it's a combination of keeping your best in-state prep players within the state borders. Wisconsin's the only Division I school for football here. Second, they kept the best players there. They had a solid running game, like a physical ground attack, which you still saw during the Gary Anderson era, though he tried to implement looks from a spread formation and was starting to try to gear the Wisconsin offense towards that look, and it, which didn't necessarily fit what Wisconsin is known for with their big 6'6", 320-pound lineman that somehow can run like a 5'2 and a 40 and still, you know, make their way to the NFL. But you have those guys there. That also their walk-on program, the guys are stepping up with injuries, or they talk about the glue in the foundation about that, where you have your scholarship players and these walk-ons have really formed, you know, and filled in where, you know, injuries happen, or a recruit, maybe it's like the way they've changed things up. Like, for instance, with Bielema, you know, like, and going into Anderson, wide receiver was a terrible, you know, there wasn't a lot of production from those scholarship players after Nick Toon left. Jared Aberdare stepped up in that 2011 season for the Badgers, and you know he went on to have all Big Ten years, conference years in 12 and 13, and you know he's in the history of Wisconsin, he is the leader in receptions alongside Brandon Williams. So you have these players stepping up into key roles, and it's just it's kind of carried on ever since Alvarez won that Big Ten championship in that Rose Bowl in the 93 season and the 94 Rose Bowl. And you've seen just the continually piling up and the consistency there, who they recruit, how they recruit them. It's been impressive to watch, to say the least.
Yeah, there has to be a art there to who they pick, because the recruiting services consistently do not think they're very good. I mean, I would just, while you were answering that question, I was scrolling through all these rankings, and they're never in the top 30 in terms of class rankings and aggregate on like 24/7 sports. So no doubt there has to be a greater conversation there about the type of kids they pick and the culture. But we are out of time here, Jake. Once again, he is Jake Kokorowski. If you want to read his work, buckiesfifthquarter.com. That's SB Nation, home for Wisconsin. Jake, we really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me out, and have a great night.